This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
Allergies are killing me.
Really?
They get you at all?
I don't get them too bad. I get tired, like I'm tired today, but I don't start like having all the symptoms. I just, when I start to get extra tired, I realize it's probably allergies.
Hey, we're going to start, I guess. I feel great. Because I rode my bike for like the last hour. Have one of those Pelotons?
Uh-huh. You
have one of those?
No, I just bought a Nordotrack treadmill, which is really cool.
Oh, 1990.
Same thing with the screen, and you work out with people and go on runs.
So it does that now?
Yeah.
Because when you said Nordotrack, I thought like 1994 represent, like you're keeping old school. But now they do. It's got the Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I rode hard, and my body feels great, but these allergies, it's like my whole head is just like, anyway, I have to do that during the podcast.
Yeah.
Apologies. Nice. By the way, episode 167, we're starting it now. Trevor of Old Dominion. But what I didn't know, Trevor, is all these songs and during Old Dominion, too, that we're going to get into that you wrote. I mean, who knew you were so rich?
Well, I don't know. I look at this house.
Oh,
I guess I'm not rich enough.
Come on. Here's something. You were coming in. I don't know why. Mike D walked up here to produce the show, and I was singing Zoot Suit Riot. You familiar with that song?
Oh, yeah.
Zoot Suit Riot.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about band names because I was thinking about you guys' name because mostly I saw Old Dominion playing in the NCAA tournament recently, which has got to be weird for people to go, Old Dominion? Old Dominion. That's just kind of a weird thing because as you guys have gotten more popular.
Yeah, now it is now.
You kind of own the name to some people
more
so than the university does.
I think so. It's like we couldn't have foreseen it, but it's like free advertising for sure.
And so with the name, the name of this band is Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Uh-huh.
And just think about that for a second. And I don't know if a band could be named that right now.
Certainly not a country band.
I remember I was doing pop radio at the time, and this song, this whole sound was big. It was like Cherry Poppin' Daddies and Brian Setzer Orchestra. There are a couple more of these like big bands.
Big Bad Voodoo.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah.
Which is my name on my email, Big Bad Voodoo Bobby. But I was thinking Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Like when you break that down, and we don't need to right here, but that's a wild band name.
It really is.
I don't think it'd be a pop band name right now, or could cross into the mainstream.
Yeah, although I mean, it does have that thing where, like, if you're young enough, you have no idea what they're talking about. But there's no way. There's no way.
That's the perviest band name, as I'm thinking about it, that's ever been on the radio. Like, I'm thinking again, it all came to me because I was thinking of you guys' band name, and not that Old Dominion and Cherry Poppin' Daddies are the same thing by any means. That's maybe the perviest band name I've ever heard that actually had a hit.
It really is. I forgot.
Like the Butthole Surfers?
Yeah. It's just like it starts to become like that's just the band name. You forget what the name actually is. Yeah, it's terrible.
Do you remember Butthole Surfers?
Yeah.
Pepper? We used to have to call them the B-Hole Surfers. This is, again, I was a teenager. I was on the radio as a teenager. Mike, pull up Pepper if you don't mind. And this song came out, and at first you could say Butthole, and then everybody started to crack down.
Really? I'm Butthole?
Yeah. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I thought it was such a jam back
then.
It
was. So weird and cool.
I don't mind the sun sometimes. Yeah, that's good. Anyway, yeah, look at you guys. You know what's cool? I think now, and I say this not even just to your face, I think you guys are my top three artists right now, period, and my favorite band.
Wow, thank you.
Which I did not see coming, frankly, just because you guys, all of your, let me break it down for you. Whenever you guys all get together, you're like, there's a bunch of guys like me, like normal dudes, right?
Uh-huh.
But then your records are all, every song is so freaking good.
Thank you.
And I'm not saying this just to your face. I say it out of your face. I also say it to your face when you guys come in. But like, I listen to your whole records. I listen to nobody's records. I don't give a crap about records.
Wow.
I'm in the land of put a single out, give me three songs, come back in a few months, give me three more songs. But when you guys put out a record, I will say you've put out the best records consistently the past few years.
Wow.
As a band.
Thank you for saying that, first of all. I mean, that's a huge compliment. But, you know, I think for us as songwriters, I mean, we have, well, five of us are writers. Three of us have had publishing deals for a long time. So I think that's always been our goal, as we've just write so many songs and we're constantly trying to, you know, trim the fat and just, you know, come up with a collection of the best songs, our favorite songs. So we always make that our goal. And it's funny, in these days, like, people say, people aren't even going to be putting albums out pretty soon. It's just going to be singles. But I always think like, well, that's part of the fun for me, because I always loved bands that I could listen to the album all the way through. So it's definitely a compliment to hear you say that, because that, for me personally, is a goal. I don't want a skippable song.
There are about three, maybe four artists who've put a record out in the last couple of years, not including some of my friends. And I'll tell them, you know, I deleted song seven. You know, I'll try to be as honest.
Yeah.
Because I believe if you're honest all the time, then the compliments actually matter.
I agree. 100%.
So if I tell my friends, you're not really feeling that so much, when I do say I'm feeling that, they know I'm telling the absolute truth.
Yeah.
And let's be honest too, you get surrounded by, with a little bit of success, you get surrounded by yes people all the time.
Absolutely.
And as fun as that is, everybody likes a good back scratch. But it starts to be detrimental to what you're producing if everybody likes everything.
I think it absolutely is.
That being said, Dan and Shay's last record, fantastic.
Amazing.
Front to the back. You guys' records, Stapleton, the Traveler, and From A Room 1, 2, there were a couple I was like, yeah. But Casey's last record, and I was on that. And I stopped talking about it because I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, once it got cool, I backed off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't want to be the guy, because I was screaming about it when it first came out. And then it got cool and I stopped screaming about it because right. I was like, I don't want to be the tool that's like, everybody thinks I've just jumped on the. But
right.
My point is, before I move to some songs here, is that you guys are just quality and quantity, and it's so rare. And that's why I was pumped that you came.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. And thank you for saying that, man. That is a great compliment.
I'm going to slam some number ones here real quick from Old Dominion. Hotel Key wrote this one. All these that I play are... You pretty much wrote all the singles with the band, right?
So far, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hotel Key, Jam, which, you know, my co-host and my best friend, Amy, that was her way early when that song was just released. She was like, I don't know anything about music. And she doesn't. But she's like, this is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. Well, and so, Written in the Sand, Jam.
Thank you.
No Such Thing as a Broken Heart. Play this one. Is that Dead? That fall off the chart? You don't have that one? Where'd it go? Song for Another Time. Snapback. Here we go. Break Up With Him. I just want to let everybody know what we're doing here. Here's the song that I love right now, and I have a story about it. One Man Band, first of all. This is my favorite song, maybe, that you guys have ever put out.
Oh, thank you. It's one of my favorites, too.
Of all the songs that I love, this might have been, probably is my favorite song you guys have ever put out. Also, because with music, you find a song and you relate to it, you start to go, oh, like, somebody feels like I feel.
Uh-huh.
And isn't that what's cool about music?
It really is, yeah. I mean, like, I always grew up melody first, I think, when I started, and Nashville really taught me how to be a true lyricist and connect with people, but that's like the holy grail when you have a song that you would love anyway, no matter what it says. But then the lyric really kind of nails a sentiment that, you know, hits a lot of people.
That one hits me. Maybe because I'm single and I'm like, finally, I need to be that. But that one hits me. And so have you heard the Matt Ramsey story about me messaging about this song?
Yes.
I feel like such a douche because I think he didn't get my joke.
Oh, no. He was like, Bobby said I should give Brad a raise. I'm like, oh, give him a raise. Give me a raise, too. That's I thought it was funny that, like, Matt was the boss that was paying us.
But that's not the point. Okay, look. Okay.
No, so, he got it, like you were saying.
He didn't seem like he got it, and I felt like the biggest tool. I sent him a message because I follow you and Matt on Instagram, and so I was listening to it because, you know, you make a playlist and you only listen, you know, you listen like 15 songs currently, switch it out. Like you're on a flight, you do whatever. And I'm listening to it and I hit him up and say, hey, who's singing the harmonies on this song? And he says, Matt.
Brad.
Brad, Jimmy, yeah. Frank, somebody.
Sound like Amy right now.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole other thing. So I go, I said, man, he's singing the crap out of those harmonies. Give him a raise. Just an expression.
Yeah.
Literally just an expression like, hey, the guy singing the harmonies rarely gets any credit. Like, tell him I said that really good. And he goes, well, we're all paid the same. And he said it so dryly. And I was like, I don't think you think I was kidding. So I replied back and I said, okay, I tell you what, all five of you get a raise. And he goes, that's really not how it works, man. You know, we're built. Just. And
he I'm broke
like,
it down.
He thinks I'm the biggest tool. He thinks I think you guys need money.
And that's so funny.
It was just
because on our end, we knew you were kidding and we all laughed about it. But it's funny on your end, you think that we thought you were so
serious. I felt
like
the biggest douche because I thought Matt thinks I'm saying everybody in the band needs a raise.
That's funny.
Anyway, that's my favorite song. One of the songs I used to play on my show that was not a single was Stars in the City with Little Big Town.
Oh, yeah.
Jam, too. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
City. Yes, I do that. I do a terrible
That's what we sound like live sometimes.
Yeah. Wait, so you were in the studio today? You guys still working?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's happening with you guys?
We're very close. I mean, we almost got record three done today. I think we got everything done. There was one song we were still wrestling with for about 5 hours, but very close.
With five guys, and I'm assuming it's a five-way partnership.
Yeah.
Ish. It is.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot. Is that a vote? Does it ever go to the democracy?
You know, it's a discussion, you know, and everybody kind of has their area of expertise. You know, we've known each other for so long. I mean, you kind of know who, you know, if somebody has a strong opinion and that seems to be their area, you know, we'll kind of defer, but everybody has an opinion and usually we'll agree. Our musical minds are pretty on the same page, but when we disagree, we just kind of talk it out, you know, and then you'll settle on an answer. Very rarely is it like where two guys are really head to head and just won't let it go. And then at that point we will kind of go, well, what's the consensus here? What does everybody think? And so, I mean, it's like being married to four different people. I mean, you do have to sometimes fight for what you want, but then also realize you're one of five.
You five have known each other. Like, who knew each other the longest?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated.
What's the band dynamic here?
It's interesting because we get asked that a lot, and we usually have like 30 seconds to give a tidy answer, but it's a little longer. I think Whit and Matthew went
Whit, who plays drums.
Whit, the drummer, yeah. And Matthew, the lead singer. They went to the middle school together. They were in the same. They grew up in the same area, and so they knew each other, I think, technically the longest. But then in college, they all went to college somewhere in Virginia, including Brad, who was from Connecticut. He went to school in Virginia as well. So they all kind of knew each other in college. Actually, Whit and Jeff, the bass player, played in a band together in college, and they would play shows with Brad's band sometimes, and Matt was kind of playing in the same circuit. So they had a history before any of us moved to Nashville. But then about 16 years ago, I moved to Nashville, and Matt had just moved there recently. And he's one of the first people I met. We met on stage at a writer's round. And so we kind of started writing a long time ago. I think in Nashville terms, as far as being co-writers and collaborating, I think we've probably done the Nashville songwriting thing the longest. But
what was the idea for you when you moved to town?
You know what? I wanted to move to be an artist, like I think a lot of people do when they move here. A lot of songwriters end up just being songwriters, which is fine. But I moved here. I wanted to get a record deal and everything. And so I was sort of going after it that way, but then got a publishing deal. And, you know, you sort of hit a wall a little bit. Sometimes when you're going for the artist thing, you realize just how much competition there is. And you know, and then I loved songwriting. I loved the art of songwriting and started pitching songs and realizing that that was a possibility too. So at some point I really didn't think any of this Old Dominion or artist thing was going to happen. I sort of set it aside and went, you know, I want to be a songwriter, and that's a great life to have.
So when you come and you want to be an artist, was it a solo? Were you going to be a solo artist? Were you trying to form a band?
Yeah, I wanted to be a solo artist. So, yeah, I was writing songs and just, you know, trying to get a publishing deal, but really with the goal of trying to get signed.
And how long did you kind of run that down?
I'd say, well, it's hard to really pin it down because I was still playing shows around town with that idea. I'd say about 5 years in. I moved here in fall 2003. I'd say within about 4 or 5 years, I was pretty much gone. Yeah, I'm not really going for that anymore.
Did it go from I'm not going for that anymore right into, oh, we should do this band? Or was there like a brief period where you're just like, I'm going to be a songwriter because I'm freaking good at it?
Yeah, it was a good stretch where I was just going to be a songwriter. I mean, even, you know, Matt and I had been writing songs and, you know, sort of going after it. And Matt was trying to do his artist thing too. But we had been writing songs for a long time. And I'd say there's probably a good, I don't know, it's hard to do the math exactly, but I'd say a good 4 year stretch where we were just trying to get cuts. You know, we were both still playing writer's nights and playing out. And sometimes I'd jump up with his band, you know, it's kind of that deal. But we were really just kind of resigned to being songwriters and trying to get cuts. So yeah, there was a good stretch where I never really foresaw having a record deal or doing what we're doing right now.
What's that first conversation where it's like, hey, should we try something? Because you're writing songs. You're getting all right at it.
Yeah.
You know, you have a little success.
Yeah.
But to go back the artist route, like it's like starting over because it's a grind.
It really was. It's so weird because with us, it was a little different. It was pretty non-conventional because we started jamming together. You know, Matt was already playing with Whit and Jeff, who had moved to town by that point. And Brad was the last to enter. But, you know, they were playing shows as, you know, Matt Ramsey, basically. And he was just doing it to showcase songs. And I would jump up every once in a while. And then started showing up frequently. And so I was like, I'll just be in the band. And we were just doing it for some extra cash just to showcase songs. But it was really fun. We were all really close and we enjoyed it. But I think the switch flip was when, like, we got a couple cuts and then we had a hit, you know, Craig Morgan, we had a top 15.
Which one?
It's called Wake Up Loving You.
Yeah. Wake up loving you.
Yeah. I mean, that was an Old Dominion staple. Like, we would close our shows with that. And then that got on the radio, and then Say You Do for Dierks Bentley, he cut that, and
only
it was like
one.
Yeah. And we started to go like, okay, well, we have hits. We know we're writing hits. These are hits, and we had a sound, and we started to go, our band's pretty good. I still didn't think this was going to happen. I still thought it was a pipe dream, but then just people started talking, you know, like, well, these guys have hits. Their band is really good. People started to come watch us, and I remember talking to Matt one day and just we weren't really seriously considering it, but I remember one conversation where we started to talk about Wake Up Loving You, and this is before it really was a hit for Craig Morgan, but we were like, wouldn't that be cool if we played it live? We used to have this little alarm clock that started the song. It's maybe kind of cheesy, but we thought it was cool at the time. And we started going, wouldn't that be cool if we were playing like an arena and it was counting down to the show beginning and it was like this alarm clock, but when it hit like 0 seconds to the show, like the alarm clock started to go off. And I started envisioning us playing it live to a crowd. And I think for me, that was the first time I went, yeah, the artist thing would be pretty cool to be out there and actually be delivering it to the fans. It was like the first time the spark happened again where I started to even consider it. Because at that point, I had resigned myself to living in Nashville and just writing songs.
It's funny you talk about how, you know, you guys had written some hits and you were playing, because that's how you were first told to me. Like, it's a bunch of songwriters that are really good songwriters that have, like, formed a band. Like, that was the word that gets to me three layers removed, yeah. Right? It's like, hey, you should hear these guys. And that first song you guys put out was like what was the very first song you guys put out?
I mean, the first one that really hit was Break Up With Them. But, there was one before that.
What was the one before that? Do you remember the one they put out a little bit?
There was a couple on XM.
All right.
Okay, so that we test fired a couple. The first one, because we couldn't get arrested. We couldn't get a record deal. And, you know, they agreed to play something. That we put out one called Dirt on a Road.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Yeah. And then we put out one called Shut Me Up, which is a very rocking kind of song. And that was actually, we were trying to put that out to radio. We had a, you know, a little independent. We were trying to do it independently. and we were going to radio with Shut Me Up, but then some stations started playing Break Up With Them.
Yeah,
and
I guess that'd be the first one too, yeah, that we played too.
Yeah. Yeah, when stations started just jumping on Break Up With Them before we even were trying to promote it, we went, okay, we have a thing here. We need to switch gears.
Was there any sort of a couple labels going, hey, we'd like to have you? Well, no, I'd like to have you. Was it ever?
No.
Like
no.
No bidding war for Old Dominion?
No. There was. I mean, we actually, it got to a point where, I mean, you know how hard it is to make it in this town and hard to get a record deal. So it's not like I, the whole time, was going, why won't anybody sign us? But, you know, we went into this pretty mature, and we had been around a while, so we understood how hard it was. But there did hit this certain point where I'm going, our band is really good, you know, and we've written hits for other people. We obviously know how to write hits, and we had some stuff already recorded that we felt sounded really good. And, you know, then radio started playing some stuff, and it really, everything was taking off, and it seemed like, you know, and then we signed with management. We got the Kenny Chesney tour before we even had a record deal. And so we're going, man, we have this major tour. We have songs on the radio. We've written hits for other people. Like, why won't anybody sign us? Like, I could not understand. And I started to just feel like it's never going to happen.
Why do you think that people wouldn't sign you?
I think we're a little bit older, you know. I mean, we were all in our 30s and, you know, I don't think we were old, but I think they were just maybe had a perception that we were just songwriters. And
I think that's a fair perception.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's how you were pitched around too.
Yeah. And I can understand that. You know, we were a little bit older and we had that perception of just being songwriters. And, you know, I mean, honestly, like we're, you know, the songs are on the radio now and we're sort of used to it. But back then it did sound a little different, I think. And, you know, I don't know that it was down the middle country. So, you know, I think there's always a lot of reasons why it's hard to get signed, you know, and it just takes wedging that door open with one song. Break Up With Them did that for us. You know, if there was no Break Up With Them, we might not have gotten another swing at it.
You know, what's cool is you're 63 now and you're still making big hits. It's really fantastic.
I can still walk too. It's great.
I'm going to do this commercial real quick. It's a situation no one wants to experience during tax season, right? But with the breaches in the last couple of years, your information may already be exposed. And that could lead to an unfortunate discovery, finding out that a cyber criminal stole your identity and filed for your tax return. The good thing is, there's LifeLock with Norton to help you protect against things that could happen to your identity and your devices. If you become a victim of identity theft, well, tax-related or not, LifeLock will work to fix it with a dedicated identity restoration specialist who's assigned to your case from beginning to end. Plus, with the addition of Norton Security, you'll also have protection that blocks cyber criminals from stealing from your devices. Listen, of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can join right now and get 10% off your first year. I have it. I love it. It's helped me out before. Many times, actually. Just head to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Enter the promo code BONES. That's BONES for 10% off your first year. So how'd you get ready today? Did you shower, brush your teeth, wash your face, style your hair? I'm asking because as a proud member of Dollar Shave Club, I'm here to tell you that no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You want a clean mouth and fresh breath, right? The intense peppermint flavor of Dollar Shave Club's toothpaste will wake you up and last a surprisingly long time. Their hydrating body cleanser smells awesome. Skin feels great after you shower, but I hope showering and brushing your teeth are just part of how you get ready. But no matter how you do, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need. And I haven't even mentioned their razors and shave butter that everybody knows them for, including myself. Right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5 each. They got a shower set, a toothpaste, a toothbrush set, all their famous shave butter, the razor, any of those sets, just $5. And it's the best way to try out their amazing products. It's a great gift after your starter set products ship at a regular price, right? Get yours today, dollarshaveclub.com/bones, dollarshaveclub.com/bones. Hey, so, you know, you talk about songs you wrote for other people. I have a list of them here. You mentioned Say You Do, which Dirk's took to number one. And you wrote this with, did you write this with Matt?
Yeah, Matt and I and Shane McAnally.
Listen to this. Let's go back a little bit. Better Dig 2, Bam Perry.
Yeah, that was my first number one, actually.
Boy, this song was an anthem for a while.
It was.
I mean, just how it starts. All of this, the production of the song, that This is a big one.
It was. That one, that was another one where I hadn't had any hits yet. I had the Craig Mugger one on the radio, and I remember we wrote this one that was me and Brandy Clark and Shane McAnally wrote Better Dig 2, and Shane produced the demo. I mean, this is before any of us. I mean, Shane, I think at that point, had a number one, and he was starting to get a lot of attention, but Shane would produce a lot of the demos, and actually Casey Musgraves sang that demo for us. That was before she had a record deal or anything. And I remember when he sent me the demo, I'm like, oh my God, like we're going to have a hit for sure. And then we still pitched that around all around town and couldn't get it cut.
Was it as intense, the demo as intense as the track ended up being produced? Mike, play a little bit from the beginning. You better dig too if you can pull that up, because it hits.
Oh yeah. Yeah, when he sent me the demo, it was very, I mean, obviously they, you know, their production is bigger. It's a major label production, but yeah, the demo is,
I mean,
crazy. I remember Shane sent it to me. I was out of town and he sent me the demo, and his comment to me was, he said, I said, how's the track sound? He said, this track is going to fuck you up. I don't know if I can say that.
You can. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's no rules. Okay. That's like international waters. Do whatever you want.
And I did. I played it. It sounded so different. It's funny now looking at it through the lens of today, because it sounded so crazy different than anything else when he sent me the demo. And yeah, it was. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is going to be the biggest Miranda hit. We're pitching to Miranda and Carrie Underwood. And then when the band Perry wanted to cut it, you know, we were like, oh, they're kind of a newer band. And it actually ended up being the best thing that could happen, because when you have that song that helps really break a new artist, then it becomes like a big staple for them. So,
cool. I mean, like, it's already dropped. Turn it up here. Ooh, I mean, it's strong. I mean, I think about how just intense the song with the banjo or whatever that is at the beginning.
Yeah, they did such a great job on it.
And Casey sang the demo, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Do you still have that somewhere, like in a phone somewhere?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a cool thing for like 10 years from now.
I know. I played because my kids are big Casey Musgraves fans too. And my daughter, she's 7. She asked me to play every song I ever write. She's like, play me whatever songs you have. And she loves Casey. And I was like, you know what I have? And I played it for her. Her mind was blown.
You have 5 kids?
4.
4 kids? Mm-hmm. Amy, my co-host. If you don't listen to the radio show, my co-host, Amy, my best friend, we were on the air one day and we were playing this game, and I was like, okay, I'll read you all the people in the band. You tell me who the band is. And I was reading all you guys. I'd done like Freddie Mercury, you know, it was like Third Eye Blind, everyone. And I read all of you guys' names, and she goes, ah, no idea. And I was like, Amy, they've been in the studio like 8 times and friendly. Yeah. She's like, I have no idea. And so I said, no, well, that's Old Dominion. And she was like, oh, I don't know. I just got to see them. I don't know their names. And Amy's the kindest person ever. a little fluffy sometimes, but airhead a little bit, but like great. And so she texts me. She goes, I'm on the flight with Trevor from Old Dominion. And he just texted me. We're going to Disneyland, or maybe at the same time. And he just texted me and then re-signed his name again so I would know it was him. And so I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
She felt pretty bad about that.
Oh, it was funny. I never remember people's names either, so I certainly didn't take offense. But I didn't pass up the opportunity to rub it in on Twitter. So.
And then she goes, hey, we hung out with Trevor. And this is what she said about you. She said, your kids were the most well-behaved kids. And you have 4 kids.
I have 4 kids.
She's like, they're the most well-behaved kids. She said, I have no idea how you guys are going to behave like that.
Well... they must have been having an on day.
How old's your oldest?
14. She'll be 15 this summer.
14-year-old kid?
Yeah. And my son just turned 13 while we were out there. Yeah.
Holy crap. And how old's your youngest?
5.
You got any more coming?
No.
You done?
Officially done.
Are you sure?
I'm officially, well, like, let's hope it took.
How recent is that? Was that?
Oh, it was 2 years ago.
Is that painful or no?
It wasn't too bad.
Did you like the local anesthetic, or did you just go, give it to me raw? I'm just going to sit here and take it.
Just give it to me.
Give me a bullet. I'll bite it. Yeah. Bullet and some whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that, yeah, I think there was a local shot there that helped, but no, as long as you definitely have to do what they say, like, don't get up, don't try to do anything. You're going to feel 100% and feel like, oh, I could go for a run, but they're like, don't be fooled.
How long do you have to take off whenever you get that?
Just a couple of days. Just ice. Sit there in a chair with some ice.
So I don't have any kids, right? And I've had a dog, and for 15 years I had this dog. Loved him so much, right? And he was my best friend. My dog's my best friend. And he still had nuts at about age 11. And they and you don't have to cut your nuts off, right? You're still having nuts, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, they're still there. Yeah.
And they were like, you gotta cut your dog's nuts off. He's been sick twice. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do. It wasn't even my nuts.
Mm.
And I had to snip them. It is tough.
It's rough.
And it does, it's not really the same, but in my heart, it's the same.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That seems like something you got to do early, otherwise.
I should have, yeah. Because at 11, it wasn't fair to him. He's like, I've had these things for 11 years. Where'd they go?
But dogs quickly forget, though. He's fine.
I met a girl, William Michael Morgan. This is the number one. You wrote with Sam Hunt and Shane McAnally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you guys wrote this, because I've heard Sam cut it, did you guys cut it with Sam in mind and then he ended up not putting it on the record?
No, I mean, this was before Sam had a record deal. So, I mean, in much the same way a lot of our songs ended up, we don't necessarily write with ourselves in mind. And I think with Sam at that time, we didn't know what Sam was going to sound like, you know, and we weren't necessarily going, oh, does this sound like you? I mean, when you're in the beginning stages, he hadn't even signed a deal. He hadn't even cut anything. And you don't really have a direction. You're just trying to write a cool song. So it definitely sounded different, I think.
When you guys heard William Michael Morgan do it, were you like, holy crap, that went traditional country quick?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Scott Hendricks, who produced it. He was so excited, and he's like, I want you guys to come hear this. It's not going to sound like your demo at all, but we love it, and we want you to come hear it. And, yeah, I was blown away. I couldn't believe how different it was, but how great it sounded. It was cool because I think that's the coolest thing when you can write a song that you could produce it any different way, and it's still a great song at its core. So it was pretty cool to hear it that traditional and still love it.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
Sangria from Blake Shelton. Oh, this is Josh Osborne and Shane.
Yeah, no, that's Josh and JT Harding.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Have we had JT in here? We had Josh in here.
You know JT?
I don't think I know
you
JT.
You should have him in here. He's a riot.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't. JT's. We haven't had him in yet. So you wrote this. This actually, which was, you know, it's weird when a song flies up a chart, right? Because it's fun to have a song that goes to number one, I bet, right?
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
It's right. It's a cool thing. And you like to get a Blake or a Luke cut or an Al Dean cut, but they fly up the chart.
They do.
Yeah. And it's like, here they come and there they go. Like, you like to get them. You're happy you got them. But is there a part of you that goes, that's such a good song? Just a part of you, because most of you is not. You just want the song to be sang by Blake. That's awesome. He goes, man, it's going to be a number one. It's going to be off the chart before you can really, like, pay your bills.
Yeah. I don't think that.
No? Okay.
No, because right. I've had them die. You know, I've definitely had songs that I thought were sure things, and then they die. So, for me, I just go, just keep going. Go as fast as you want. Be a big hit. You know, and with that, too, I think that was a three-week number one, and, you know, it still gets played a lot. So, if that's the case and it's going that quickly, then you hope it's just a big one that, you know, continues to get played. Because guys like Blake Shelton, you know, they're going to have, they have, what, 30, 40 singles that, you know, are going to be played for years. So you hope that maybe you have one of those ones that gets played for years.
The first parody that, when we were just doing parodies, my band, The Raging Idiots, instead of Sangria, we did Tortilla.
I remember that.
Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for us. We have pierced the consciousness of the writers then. We still play that sometimes. I'll play it during comedy shows.
Oh, nice.
Like, I'll grab my guitar. Because at this point now, I'll do stand-up and we still play some band shows. And I think we were playing full band shows on some festivals with you guys. Like,
yeah.
We play and you guys will play right after us. And we'd see you going, we could be coming off and you guys would be going on. We'd be like, what up?
High five.
Good to see you. We suck. Sorry. Have a good show. But now I'll play that sometimes, like when I do stand up, because people be like, play Sangria or Buy Me a Goat. We don't do a lot of parodies now. But we're too good for them now. We're too big for parody. What are you talking about? But yeah, that was the first one we ever did. I sent Eddie a note. I said, hey, this Sangria song's really good. You think you could write Tortilla? And he's like, I said, you're Mexican. I really can't. I can't write all of it as a white guy.
So that was the first parody?
Yeah.
That was the first one. Yeah. I'm honored.
Yeah, it's kind of what launched the whole thing here. Let me write. Let's see here. Right now on the chart, you have one that got away from Michael Ray. It's in top five. Who'd you write this with?
Matt. I wrote this with Matt and Jesse Frazier and Josh Osborne.
So you're writing these songs and you go, it's good, but it's not good enough for us to keep. Is that what it's like?
No, not really. No, it's because this one, it was funny. Our manager, Will, he was like, you're not going to cut this song? He wanted us to. And we, like this one, we have some good sense now of what is a hit or is not a hit. So it wasn't whether we thought it was a good song or whether it's a hit, but it's this weird science of trying to figure out what to record and not record, you know? And it's like, it can come down to so many different things. Do we already have a song in this vein or whatever? But sometimes we just try to play it and it either does or doesn't sound like us. And I don't know, there's no definition for that. There's just a gut feeling. So a lot of songs we try out, and we did. We definitely considered this one pretty strongly, but you know, we didn't do it. And it wasn't because we didn't like it. We immediately started to pitch it because we did feel like it was a hit.
Yes, I look at this list here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know if this is an accurate number, but I see 10 number ones total. Is that about right?
I think so.
So when you write these songs that go number, I just wonder what it's like in this dynamic with the band. And it's like if everybody's writing songs, and obviously you want your song to get put on the record.
Because mm-hmm.
again, you got to keep the lights on at the house.
Right.
You got 19 kids to feed. You know what I mean? Like, does that dynamic ever get a little bit dicey? Does it ever go to a vote where it's like, he's got this song that feels the same as this song?
Yeah, I don't think it really has come down to that yet. Because ultimately, whatever the best song is best for the band. Now,
you feel like your song, like if it's close, don't you feel like your song's the best? Because well, I would.
That's the hard part. Now, I don't see, I might be the opposite. I might be inclined to not vote for my song, you know? But, you know, y'all get a sense. I mean, it's a five opinion kind of thing, democracy. So I do feel like sometimes if, say, if there's two songs that it's such a tie and they're so close, and maybe, you know, a few of us wrote the one where maybe only one of us wrote the other one, maybe it could come down to that tiebreaker where we go, look, this is an absolute tie. The tie goes to the fact that more of us wrote this one. I think it hasn't come down to that yet, but I could see it coming down to that. But at some point you just got to set it aside and go, you know, if this is what everybody feels like is the best move for us, then that's just got to be the best move. So
is there anyone in the band that doesn't write as much? Like, they go like, you know what? You guys are the real songwriters. I'm just going to play my instrument and be an onstage rock star.
Yeah. I mean, well, Matt and Brad and I do most of the writing, you know. I mean, we've been writing in Nashville for years with publishing deals and really doing the Nashville songwriting thing, you know? So, you know, Jeff and Witt also write, you know, they played in bands for years and played original stuff. And, you know, what they do is definitely a big part of the writing and a part of the sound. But yeah, I mean, in the conventional Nashville songwriting way, yeah, it's mostly Matthew and Brad and I.
I would think, as someone who try, again, I just love the dynamics of a group, because I'm in a group myself, right? My morning show's a group. I have 8 personalities. I mean, I'm the boss, but still, like, Amy matters sometimes more than mine does, because if she's not good, I'm not good. You know, Lunchbox, so I have I have a band, and then I have, you know, all these different, like, groups where the group dynamic really does affect things. What if, like, why are you not the lead singer? Like, when was that a conversation?
Because I'm not as good of a singer.
Is that really what it comes down to?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, first of all, I mean, Brad is a great singer, but I think Matt is one of the best singers I know. I just think he's got a lot of character to his voice, and he's just got a great voice. And no, that was never in question. I think I was a fan of Matt before I ever thought about being in the band. You know, even when we wrote together, if he was playing out somewhere, I'd go watch him.
Don't you want to peel one off, though, and be like, I got this one, boys.
I don't really. I know Brad does. I mean, Brad sang one on the last record. I think there's a part of Brad that would love to put out his own record or maybe sing more, which I would be all in favor of. I think Brad is a great singer.
The Eagles, they all sang, right?
Yeah.
Most all of them. The Goo Goo Dolls, I hate it when their bassist sang, though. I don't know if you ever listened to the Goo Goo Dolls.
He did?
Like, 2 tracks. It'd be like... Johnny Resnick would sing the songs, and like 2 tracks, he'd throw a bone to the bassist, and it'd be like, here I am. It was this weird thing.
I didn't know that, actually. I knew, like, in the recent, like, Weezer records, you know, they'd have, like,
I hate that, too. Yeah, I hate that, because I'm a huge Weezer fan.
Because once you've already established, like, yeah, hey, this guy is the sound of the band, I think it's harder. That was the thing with Brad last album. Like, I was glad he got one in, and I thought, like, man, it would be cool if we had 2 or 3, you know, to establish it early, because once you don't establish it early, then it's not going to sound like your band. But I do love how the Eagles, you know, they had Glenn Frey and Don Henley, and even, you know, some of the other guys sang one.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, like, obviously the Beatles. I do love that when there's a versatility, but it's a little bit harder to do in today's musical climate, I guess. I mean, people have short attention span. They're not going to realize it's Old Dominion if it's not Matt singing. So.
And I agree with what you're saying, but also, if someone gets sick, someone can cover pretty easily,
yeah,
and do the songs. Or if someone gets kicked out of the band, I'm just saying.
Like, if Matt fires one of us.
stop it. Like the Bare Naked Ladies, right? They kicked out the singer, Steven.
They did?
He's not even in the band anymore. Really? They got together for the Canadian... I'm a big Bare Naked Lady fan. They got together for the Canadian Hall of Fame, but they kicked him out years ago. And so Ed, the guy who does the rapping, who can also sing, is now the full singer. But because he had sang so much early, it's not that weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now you just go, oh, and like the drummer sings a little bit.
All he's got to do is it's Ben.
Yeah.
If he can do that, then it's.
I used to drive to the, I used to work in a marina. You have any jobs before?
Yes.
Like, what'd you do?
Oh, man. Well, the one that I had most recently, I worked at Best Buy here in Cool Springs.
Doing?
For like 8 years, home theater.
For 8 years?
I think it was 7 or 8 years down here, yeah. Through like 2 publishing deals, I still had my job there.
Doing?
Just sold TVs, surround sound systems, yeah.
Crazy. I used to work, the reason I talk about the marina is I used to drive to the marina every day when I was filling up boats and fixing boats and driving around pontoons. And that song, It's Been, that song reminds me.
It's Been.
Yeah, of driving to the marina. By the way, let me mention this. You have Kelsey's song, I Hate Love Songs.
Yes.
Yeah, here, this one too. Who'd you write this with?
I wrote it with Kelsey and Shane McAnally. Yeah.
You and Shane write a lot together?
We do. Well, we used to. We both have kind of don't see each other as much. But, yeah, I mean, the funny thing, people, you know, you think of like Shane McAnally or Josh Osborne, these guys, like, oh, these big hit songwriters. But when we started out, you know, the band, we have the band arc, you know, as part of our story. But really the songwriting arc, you know, Matthew and I and Shane and Josh and Matt Jenkins and Brandy Clark, we didn't have anything going on back then. So, I mean, we used to write with each other all the time and just had this kind of sound with each other. So, I mean, we've written hundreds of songs probably together. Yeah.
It's funny to see whenever they mixed you guys and Brothers Osborne up.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, you don't even look the same. There's really nothing close in Brothers Osborne. I guess there are two words.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you think? I've tried to figure it out too.
I have too.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. Because there are two guys in that band.
I guess.
I would understand if it were like an FGL thing where it's another duo or a Dan and Shay and they're mixing up the duo.
Yeah. I mean, they're taller. They sound different.
There's really not.
I love it though.
Now it's funny because you guys have both kind of made a name for yourself in different ways. You're, you know, both successes. It is really funny. And now it's a thing because it's happened so many times. But I don't know why they keep mixing you guys up.
I really don't know. Like now, like sometimes I'm like, do those people really mix us up or are they just in on the joke now? But yeah, that's funny.
Does the old, you guys ever go, have you played at school, the school, Old Dominion?
Yeah, we played there, I think last summer.
Was that a thing or no? Do they care?
I can't remember. I don't feel like they hyped it up too much as Old Dominion at Old Dominion. I think there was a little bit of element of that, but I don't know.
Was it weird to have the name? Was there any legal thing? Like you can't call yourself Old Dominion?
Yeah, actually we almost weren't called Old Dominion.
What was that story?
Well, so early on, you know, it's so hard to pick a band name, you know, it's like the worst thing you can possibly have to do because you're always self-conscious. You know everybody's going to rip on you and shoot down anything you throw out.
Everything's stupid. Yeah.
Definitely. So, you know, we had to sit there and go, okay, well, we're not going to be named Matt Ramsey or whatever. Let's figure out a band name. We're a band. And so we had tried so hard, and we finally settled on Old Dominion. Matt said that one day. He's like, the only thing I could think of that's related to Virginia that hasn't been taken is Old Dominion. And we were like, well, what's wrong with that? So we were Old Dominion for like maybe 2 years. And started to get some steam. You know, we had some things going. We had already put out a couple songs on iTunes. And then we were talking to our attorney, and he's like, man, I'm just really concerned about the legalities of this. You know, you got the peanut company, and you got the trucking company, and you got the university and the beer. And so, man, we actually got to the point where we were sitting at a bar in Nashville trying to come up with a new name and pretty much having a band fight. And then I finally, I don't know, I can be stubborn sometimes, but I was like, you know what? This is stupid. I'm like, we can be called Old Dominion. And they were like, well, no, our attorney says we could get sued. And I said, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, there is a university. There is a peanut company. They're not suing each other. There are already multiple Old Dominions. And so I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to call the attorney. And our attorney was like, man, I don't know. He said, really, you're probably right, except the university is the one I'm afraid of. Because they have a marching band. They have merchandise that they sell. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get a hold of somebody. So I sat there all day and tracked down somebody at the university and just asked people until I got to the right person. And I said, hey, we're this band. We've been operating under this name. We already have songs out, you know. Is this an issue? And they said, no, as long as you don't use our logo, we're not worried about it. You're good. And so I took it back to the guys and I'm like, does this satisfy everybody? And they're like, okay, I guess we're still Old Dominion.
You got it in writing.
Yeah.
That's the play. Get it in writing.
Yeah.
So
it was all out of like futility of being able to come up with a new name.
You remember any of the names you guys talked about?
I mean, I do know they were all awful. But man, I can't remember. I do remember playing the Wild Horse one time when we were in Limbo and we were like, let's just tell her we're Fried Eagle. The girl would announce us when we would play the Wild Horse. She'd go, what are you guys called? Sometimes we'd just be Matt Ramsey or whatever. And one time she was like, how do you want me to announce you? And Matt was like, Fried Eagle. She's like, ladies and gentlemen, Fried Eagle. That was pretty funny.
I thought the video of you guys playing, was it the Wild Horse when there was like one couple dancing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a great video.
That was. I couldn't believe Matt still had that on his computer.
It was just, and I mean that in the most sincere way. It was, here you guys are. You've got all these hits as a band. You got all these hits as writers. And you're playing to no one, right? And there's an old couple that are, it looks like they're two-stepping to that summer. Yeah. I'm going from memory.
Yeah, that summer.
That summer. And it was a, hey, look, even we like struggled our brains out and nobody would come to our shows.
Yeah.
And look at us now. And it wasn't look at us now, like look at us now. But I was like, freaking look at us now. Like we can do this. You guys can do this.
Yeah.
I was inspired by the video. I thought that was a pretty cool post.
It was really cool. I mean, that, like you said, that was before any of the hits or anything.
That was Fried Eagle days, man.
Yeah, it was Fried Eagle days. That might have been the night we announced ourselves as Fried Eagle.
I was watching, speaking of band names, I was watching that Motley Crue. It's a biopic on Netflix. Have you seen the previews for it?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It's kind of a disaster, but you almost have to watch it. Like, I'm such a music nerd. Like, give me any sort of biography or a biopic. Like, I'll watch it. I consume music. And so I'm like, let me watch this thing. And there's a whole scene where they're coming up with their name, Motley Crue. And I guess one of their names before it was Motley Crue was X-M-A-S-S, like X-Mass, like Xmas with a pentagram.
Oh, my God.
It was so bad. But that was really one of their names. And I was thinking when I was watching that, I was like, 99.9% of band names are so stupid. We just accept them because they get a hit and they're said so much over time.
I remember Florida Georgia Line when they came out. I was like, that's the dumbest name ever. And now it's just their name. It's just part of...
It's just words that make sense to us.
I do remember Tire Fire. That was one of them we threw out. Tire Fire. We're like, let's just be called Tire Fire.
Tire Fire.
And you sit there and go, this is a terrible, terrible name. But
sounds dirty. It sounds like dirty, gross, grimy.
Like some backyard.
Like you guys are. Grimy.
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty and grimy. So talk to me about this whole new record that you guys have. Do you guys play on the record?
We do.
Which is cool because that doesn't happen a lot in town.
It doesn't. It's very rare. And I think it's part of what makes us, you know, people a lot of times will tell us, oh, you guys sound like you. It sound like Old Dominion. And it's, I think, partly because we play, you know, it's us five. And then this time, like Dave Cohen has played keys and come in and done some different things. So he's a big part of it too. But almost aside from Dave, every note, every choice, everything is, you know, us playing and Shane producing and directing. So I think we always say for better or worse, you know, it makes it sound like us because, you know, we have limitations. We're not all studio level people, but you know, like, I think that gives us a fingerprint.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, and for those that aren't familiar, a lot, I'll even say most records, even with bands, they'll bring in specifically trained session players that their life is actually playing, you know, these guitar parts or the keys or, but I always like when bands will use their own people as much as possible.
Yeah. I do too, because, you know, if you use all the same guys that everyone is using, sometimes those tracks start to sound all the same.
You ever see the Beach Boys stuff, what they used to do?
You know, I've heard some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, like he would stay back, and they would get the Wrecking Crew, and the Wrecking Crew would play all the songs, and they would go out and tour, and Brian Wilson just stays back in the studio, and, you know,
is mad
just,
genius.
Just making everything up, and they have all the answers. And sometimes the Beach Boys don't even play on the records.
Uh-huh.
You know, they come in and sing, but the records will pretty much be done. They go out and make all the money touring. You know, Brian Wilson's in with all the Wrecking Crew. You ever see the Wrecking Crew documentary on Netflix?
I have not seen that one.
That's so good.
There's another one. Have you ever seen Standing in the Shadows of Motown?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've watched that. I think it's a similar thing, right?
We're just going to play Have You Seen?
I haven't seen hardly anything.
It's because you're a dad with four kids.
Yeah, I just never watch anything.
Well, I don't have a girlfriend, so I'm watching everything. It's like, what can I watch next? There's one that's about guitar players in bands, like famous guitar players that maybe you recognize, and then it just goes through their stories, and it's pretty cool. There's another background singer one where it's like 2 feet from stardom or something, mm-hmm. which is fantastic.
Well, I've heard about that one.
It's so good because it's like, they're so close. And it's all these humongous acts they're background singing
with. And like singing for Michael Jackson and people like that.
Like Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
One of the most famous stories was a legit Michael Jackson background singer.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So anyway, are you like, do you practice still?
My instrument?
Yeah.
I mean, I every day pretty much is practice. Well, not every day, but when we're on the road, I mean, playing the show, you know, we're doing sound check. I mean, we with those songs, I guess you're playing songs you've played over and over, but I guess it keeps your skills up to some level. But, you know, I'm also not like a lead guitar player where I'm going to sit there and practice my scales. I think for me, I'm more of a song person. I think ultimately the biggest thing I contribute to the band is the songwriting aspect. So I'm always practicing that, you know, I think every day.
What's your favorite song you've written that we would know that has made the light of day?
Man, it's so hard. Well, I don't know if this is the light of day necessarily. It wasn't a single, but there's a song on a Keith Urban album I wrote called Come Back to Me that I wrote with Shane and Brandy Clark. It's just one of my favorite songs.
Pull that up, that Mike. We've ever written. I'd like to hear a little bit of this one here. If it's your favorite, you know what? It's my favorite. This the jam here?
Yeah, yeah. Just the lyric is just, I think, one of the best lyrics.
What record is this
we've
on?
Written. Is it Fuse?
Yeah. Yep. What's the one song of yours that you thought would never really amount to? Well, that's a weird question because, you know, you didn't write. You don't write them to be discarded.
Right.
But you write it and you go, I don't know. Let's just put it out there. And then all of a sudden it's like, wha-bam.
Well, I loved the song. So it's not because I didn't like the song, but I Met a Girl. Really, you know, it was William Michael Morgan was a new artist. He just signed a record deal. And so a lot of those come along where, oh, there's this new artist. We're going to try to cut your song on them. And you go, oh, cool. You know, you're not jumping up and down or anything. You just think that's a cool thing. So for a new artist to come out with a song like that, and then it'd be on the chart for a year and go all the way to number one, that one, I definitely didn't see that coming.
Which one of these did you write and go, yep, that's a hit?
Better Dig 2 was one. Took a while for it to happen after I wrote it, but yeah. Yeah, that was definitely one. Let me think, what else? You know, I would say Song for Another Time. I felt like when we wrote that one, we were done with the album. And then we wrote that and we sound checked it in a stadium one day. And I was like, this is a hit. This feels like a big song. So we went back in and recorded it just for that album.
And a song we've never heard of that you thought this is going to be a jam and it wasn't.
Oh, so many. Actually, a lot of them, you think that, and then you go back and listen. And you're like, oh, yeah, it wasn't as good as I thought. But,
Was it one of those Tire Fire songs, huh?
Yeah,
tire,
man, fire, we have tire, a couple. I will tell you, I go down the rabbit hole sometimes in my iTunes, you know, with all my demos and work tapes, and sometimes pull up the worst song. You know, people go, oh, you guys are such great. Every song you write is great. And it's like, no, it's not. I mean, like, we'll pull them up on the bus sometimes and crack up about how bad some of the songs we've written are.
Favorite band growing up?
Also a very hard question because I loved everything. But in high school, I was a big Faith No More fan.
Wow.
Got into, Faith No More and Nirvana.
Peter, sinner.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah, man.
But it's funny. I love stuff like that. But then I would love like the super sappy, like slow 70s ballads too.
Faith No More. Yeah. Interesting.
And Weezer. I was a big Weezer fan in college.
Are you still a big Weezer fan? Because I'm still a big. How old are you right now?
I'm 44.
Okay. So generally same here. I'm 38. I wear my glasses. I have clear frames on now, but I wear my glasses because of Rivers Cuomo. And I thought with Rivers and Buddy Holly, I thought if those two nerds can be cool, like it gave me confidence to be cool.
Uh-huh.
Like I loved Weezer that much. And I still love Weezer. Do you still love Weezer?
I do. Actually, I went through a phase there for a while where I didn't really check out anything new they were doing. But then a couple of years ago, I kind of got back in and, you know, you look at a band like that and go, I used to just, you know, hang on every album, wait till it came out, you know? And so I'm like, I haven't heard any of these albums. And actually like Pacific Daydream is like, I listened to it and that's one I'll listen to like all the way through. Like it's one of my favorite Weezer albums. And it was not too long ago they put that out.
And part of the reason is we don't hang on albums at all anymore.
Right.
Which is why your two albums are so good that I'm like, I was saying on the air the other day, and when I talk on the radio, I imagine nobody hears what I say. I have to, or I'll never say anything.
Uh-huh.
So I have to imagine that it doesn't get out. I'm just talking to my friends, or I would just cover everything I say, right? And I was talking about you guys, and I was like, you know what? I think they're my new favorite band. I think they're one of my top three, because pound for pound, all your songs are good. Like, I don't know that you have a if tomorrow never comes in my heart yet, but there hasn't been enough time yet.
Uh-huh. Well,
although one man band is the jam, it could be like right now it's in my top 10. But I think you guys might, yeah, like I'm a big fan. I really am.
I really, really appreciate you saying that. It's funny, we didn't know when we first came out, we were like, I don't think Bobby likes us.
You know, I probably didn't. And not that I didn't like you, but I just didn't know. And I don't want to be false with anyone.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
Ever. Because
I can't lie. When I don't like something, it's hard for me to. You would never believe me if I told you I liked something. So.
I can't remember if I lie. That's why I don't lie. Because I do the show. I do stand up. I'm writing books. If I lie, I just don't remember.
Yeah.
Because I would lie. I'd be great at lying. That'd be fantastic. I'd lie all the time, but help me. I just can't remember.
Yeah.
And so I remember you guys would come in and it was like, not that I didn't like it. I just didn't know yet. And I don't want you to feel, I wasn't going to lie and be like,
oh, totally.
But now when you guys come in, I'm like, Hall of Fame, put them in right now. Get them out. It's them. I love it. Yeah, I do. I'm a huge fan. I hope you know when I say that I'm from all sincerity, like I mean it.
Oh, I feel, I appreciate it.
That one man band. Well, listen, can't wait for the record. Man, got an interesting story. Faith No More. Did not expect that. But I guess I did, you know? We all come from such diverse backgrounds, and it's okay to love every kind of music. And
well, I just was a song person. That's why it's hard when you ask that. I'm like, man, it's so hard for me to say because I was more, you know, my parents didn't have a favorite band. There wasn't one thing we listened to. So I just was a station flipper. So, I mean, it's like, it's really hard to say what influenced me. Everything did, you know? I mean, I grew up in Detroit, so it was like we had Motown. We had great rap and hip hop. We had rock as Detroit Rock City. It was like, I just love songs. And I think that's why I gravitated so much to songwriting.
And you had Napster, which was a big deal for us because we were the first real group of people to be able to get anything and everything, not based on the region we lived in, not based on what our parents had in their collections, not based on what the record store, the CD store had. And, you know, again, based on where you were, they'd stock up on certain things.
Yeah.
We had freaking Napster where you would go, I think I'll take every song that starts with S, hit enter, then go to sleep, and totally. You had every song, and you just hit play.
I discovered so much music that way.
Yeah, me too.
I actually found an old, I was cleaning something out, and I found an old burn CD that I had made like 15, 20 years ago. I don't remember what it was labeled, but I'm like, oh my God, I used to just.
Stolen from Napster.
Yeah, stolen from Napster, probably 30 songs on there.
Hey, listen, man, I appreciated this. It's been a good talk. It's been an hour with you. T Rosen 41 on Instagram. Why 41, by the way?
It was my hockey number in college. So it's always been.
You played hockey in college?
I did, yeah.
What is that? That's a whole other podcast. If I didn't have to go do this American Idol, I have to go do this American Idol a hit because I'm on tonight, I would stay in touch to talk about hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll come back sometime.
All right, there it is. Trevor
Rosen, part two.
Episode 167 of the Bobbycast from Old Dominion. And
well, thank you very much for having me before I cut off.
Appreciate it, man. All right, well, we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.
We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up? I'm Lunchbox, and I know the most about sports, so I'll give the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, and I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports. I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's or the what's.
What's up? I'm Ray. I'm from the North. I'm an alpha male, a Yankee. I love ice fishing, and if you go to a bar and you see a guy shotgunning a beer, that's probably me, and together we are the
Sore Losers!
We love to talk about sports, even though we're not right all the time.
Check out our podcast, The Sore Losers, on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.